Amen. It's a beautiful day, and God is on the throne, and there's no problems in heaven. A lot of problems on earth. No problems in heaven. No financial issues. He hasn't had to hock the pearly gates to pay any debts. Everything's fine. And Jesus is on his throne. And he's on the throne so that you and I can be secure. Amen. He's not moving. The Bible says he sat down. He indicated that his job is on earth was complete. And he said, now I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send one just like me. And he sat down. And now he prays for you and I. And he prays a lot for you and a little for me. I'm joking. He prays. He intercedes, the Bible says, for you and I. And the Bible also says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We have two intercessors in heaven. Because they know how much prayer we need. It's true, eh? So I wasn't here 2 weeks ago, and Dimitri preached, I believe, an excellent word about having a healthy soul. You know, if you've got a problem with your soul, you must be like David. Look down, say, you know, why are you downcast within me, O soul? Put your hope in God. What's your problem? Don't put your hope in yourself. Put your hope in God. I don't know if you used that scripture, but anyway. But I believe it was an excellent word. And last week, Estian preached on. Very good. I thought I was going to, you know, have a blank. Purity. How do we do that? How do we embrace? How do we have purity become the part of our lives that we want it to be? How does the soul of ours become what God wants it to be? How do we do that? Prayer? Yeah. I love you guys. They were in the bay. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Holy Spirit. That's why he came, to help us become what Jesus wants us to become. Jesus said of him, he will take from what is mine and make it known to you. And he takes from the book and he makes it known to us. And he helps us on how to apply it to our lives. Because we can read the Bible, you can memorize the Bible, you can know everything in the Bible. But if the Spirit hasn't brought it to life, it's like threading it through your eyeballs. You've got nothing. You've just read it. And there are people like that. Oh, I read, you know, 16 chapters this morning. What did you read? I can't remember. But it was 16 chapters. No. It's you read the book and the Spirit brings life. And then you take it. And people today, the big word is you claim it in Jesus' name. You don't claim promises, you believe promises. The promises are, you don't have to claim them, they're for you, they're for me. You've got to believe it. And you believe it by beginning to do it. Then it becomes a reality. It is, eh? You know, I'm not even anywhere near where I want to say, but anyway, I'll keep going. Because it's vitally important. And I'll use one scripture because I gave them all to you behind the tree there, you look so sweet. Can I ask, what is this? It's like a bit, don't you think? I looked at it this morning. Now let me give you a lesson out of that. You see what happens. Those things become very important in our lives. They're little icons. That means nothing. It's a little light that lights itself. And then I'm broken now. It's nothing. And we put little things in our lives and we do certain things because that's the way, when I did it last time, God spoke to me. So now I'm going to do it this way next time because that's the way. God is not a God of tradition, and God's not a God of what's the programs. I'm writing a book. The title of which is, No Formulas, Please, We Are Christians. Because the Christian world is full of formulas. 6 ways to improve your marriage. And you read the 6 ways, don't apply them, and then go and get help because you... And there's 27 ways to receive the anointing. The way to receive the anointing is go to the one who is the anointed one and say to him, I am without you nothing. I own it, but with you, I am everything. Because that's what your word says. So I'm going to believe that. And when I believe that, he is going to put me in a place where that is going to have to be exercised. I will meet someone and suddenly there's this urge in me to pray for them. But I don't pray for people in wheelchairs. Pray for him, Jeffrey. Do you want more? Yes, we'll pray for him. And you pray and nothing happens. And you feel very humble and very, oh, Jeepers. No, that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to realize we've got to do it. Then he will make it happen. Could Peter walk? You know the Apostle Peter? He could walk, right? All over. Peter walked with Jesus. And then Jesus came in the boat, and they saw him in the boat, and they spoke. Do you remember that's what the Bible says? They thought he was a ghost. And Peter said, if it is you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. Now, what did Peter do different? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. He got out the boat and walked like he usually walks. And as soon as he started to walk, in the natural, Jesus put the supernatural ability to walk on water. As soon as you speak the word of God, he owns it by the Spirit, and suddenly something happens. And it's called the anointing of God. And let's put that first scripture up. I hope you found it in And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder. This is the old King James. You've got to love it. And his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Now the word destroyed means completely destroyed for what it was planned or originated for. So I wish we had a proper coffee cup. I'd break it here. If I dropped a coffee cup, I did it once at a conference in Kenya. I was at Kenya and I wanted to preach. They gave me an old coffee cup. It didn't have an ear. So, well, maybe they still used it. And I dropped it on the concrete stage. I said, that is destroyed. That's what the anointing does for you and for me. That's what the anointing does. And what is the yoke? What is the burden? What is the thing? Well, whatever the thing is that's holding you back from walking with God. The anointing is the presence of the Spirit. It's the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And that's what the church needs. Otherwise, we're just nice. Most of you are too young, but there used to be an advert on TV for a Fiat motor car. And it was set like in a Paris scene. And all the people were sitting at these little tables, you know, on the street, you know, in Paris, they'll sit on the street and whatever, they drink coffee. Sorry if you're a coffee snob. God bless you. I really mean that. But, you know, coffee is coffee. And this guy parks this little car and gets out and looks at his car. And 2 people sitting there say, gee, that's nice, to themselves, the car. And he says, nice? Nice, it's more than nice. It's not just nice. We don't want to be nice Christians. We want to be nice, anointed Christians. Make sense? Get lots of nice, legalistic, religious Christians. Hello, brother. It means I forgot your name. Hello, brother. But there must be power. Now, how do we get power? Not this power. Power. So that when I speak God's words, they have authority. How does that work? If I say to sickness, it must go. If I say to a demon, it must go. Now don't look at me. I'm not Mr. Power. But I'm telling you that that's what we need to apply these words that, I was going to call him Rigby, Digby, Dimitri, close, preached about having a soul that's healthy. How do I get that soul that's healthy? By the power of God encouraging me, helping me to get rid of the thing that's making it unhealthy. If I do it through a system of discipline, just discipline, it becomes a legalism. It becomes a legalism. Then I just do it. Because one day I did it and I felt better, now I just do it. So I legalistically go through a ritual. Christianity is not rituals. It's relationships. What do you do in the mornings when you pray? Well, do you pray in the mornings? That should be the question. Or do you pray? So when I pray, I haven't got a ritual. I start with, you know, confessing my sin. That'll take hours. I don't start with confession. I start with, thank God you saved me. Thank you that you rescued me. I am so grateful. And I get into that realm of, the gratitude. Having an attitude of gratitude. Is there things wrong? You bet. You're struggling? You bet. But God, my God, your God, is on the throne. And so I start, and I pray. Then if I feel like it, I put music on, and I worship. And I've got this old iPad. It's old. And it's got old songs on it, and I've got one of those fancy Bluetooth things. I don't know how they work, but I know I push it on, and then I go to the iPad, and then it goes bloop. And then I know it's on, and I play the music, and I worship. And before I know it, I've had my quiet time, and I haven't prayed for anybody. That'll become the ritual. Tomorrow morning, I get up, and I feel John Bonnie is on my heart. Sorry, John, I'm just using you because you're here, and I've known you forever. And I pray, and I begin to pray for John. I don't know what his situation is, but I just pray because God put him on my heart. And then he gives me the next name, and the next name, and the next name. And I start praying for people from Dan to Beersheba. I'm praying for people. That's under the anointing. And then I look at the time. I think I'm going to be late for my meeting. I never worshiped this morning. Get a life. He's my Father. He's my Father. I didn't go through my list. Oh dear. I was up 5 minutes late this morning. I had the privilege this week of praying for a couple from Canada. They're out in South Africa. They're in one of the churches that are going to start linking with us. Lovely, lovely, lovely couple. And they're staying with people in the Sunningdale area, in Table View. And so last week, I can't remember. I think last week I went to see them, and we spoke about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a subject we should cover one of these days. And they just wanted to know. You know, the big question is, tongues. Must I speak in tongues? You know, the Pentecostals, sorry, don't look now. But they will say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're like an elephant without a trunk. You're missing. We say it's a sign. And they got all these questions, and we go through the scriptures. And when Jesus breathed on the disciples after the resurrection, then he said to them, go and wait in the city till you're clothed with power from on high, and all those questions. And they said, are we going to pray? And I said, no, we'll pray next week. They said, why? I said, I want you to get thirsty for the things of God. Because he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, they'll be filled. They'll be filled. And I could see the disappointment. You're kidding. I said, no, the kids are here. They've got four kids, very fruitful. And I said, so last week, Tuesday night, I went back to Sunningdale. We're having supper, and there's another couple arrived because they said they heard things were happening. Yeah. And you could see in people's faces now, when's he going to do it? I said, guys, it's not me. Now, I'm sweating, so excuse me. But I'm like a drain pipe. Okay? Stick my hand up. That's where my help comes from. Where you prayed it this morning. Where does your help come from? I look to the, if my help comes from, I stick my hand up, stick this one out. God pours it through. It goes like through this elbow of the drain pipe and into this person. Who am I? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm the drain pipe. I just am a channel for the blessing of God. That's all I am. Ah, so it's easy. Of course it's easy. What have you got? Nothing. I've got him. That's all I've got. So we prayed for them. And guess what? They got zapped. And we had a wonderful time. And I got home very late. And it was wonderful. And then God woke me up at 3:30. I don't often have this. 3:30. I'm wide awake. I'm thinking, oh, God, it can't be at my clock. It's 3:30. I think, well, I must listen. Some of the great men of the faith say, God wakes you up to speak to you. Ah, Dumbo, go sit down in my red chair. Lord, speak to me. And God downloads for me a word for that guy. Clever. Write it down. No, I didn't write it down. I've got a thing. It's not a thing. I've got a WhatsApp with me on it. It's a you. It's you. I go to you and I record it. Clever. Write it down in the morning. Phone, write it down, say, I had a word. Now, how does that work? I don't know. But I'm staying open on the Godward side for God to speak to me. And then when he speaks to me, these things that these guys have preached, they become more and more and more evident in my life. What do? I just look to him. Keep looking to him. Keep trusting him. Keep believing in him. Gifting and anointing. The anointing is like the foundation from which the gifting that God gives you flows. John, I'm so confused with my notes. I don't go there. It's just ridiculous. I won't go there because it's going to mess it up. Go to 1 John 2, I think, 20 and 27. Look at this. But you have an anointing. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have an anointing. No, be serious. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. You have an anointing. I have an anointing. 27, I think it is. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. That's our sect start. Because they take that out of context. They think, I'm it. I've got an anointing, brother. Have you seen me function in the unction? And you do not need it. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, there's the key, remain in him. We all have an anointing. Have you ever been put in situations where you think, I'm in trouble spiritually. Somebody asks you to do something, you think, oh my word, I'm a dead man, because I don't know. I was called out one night to a lady whose son was going over the top, and we had people for supper, young couple, and he said, oh, I'll come with you. So we're driving in the car. I said, what are we going to call ourselves? He said, I don't know, Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, here we go. And we got to this lady's house, and her son was really behaving very badly, and he had a demonic presence in him. And I knew nothing. It was in my early days. And I thought, well, I've got an anointing. So the Bible says I'm going to believe God. I said, we're going to pray for you. And I began to pray. And I prayed for him for an hour. And I was sweating like I am now. And a voice came out of that man's mouth and said, you sweating, and I'm staying. Who's that? I said, then I realized the demon spoke to me. Was I in trouble? You bet. I didn't know what to do. He is still to this day demonized because he doesn't want to be free. The demon spoke to me. But I have an anointing. I can do that. Every single Christian has the power to get rid of demons in people's lives. They don't go looking for demons. Now, your car won't start in the morning. I've got an unstart demon in my car. Call the elders. My wife's misbehaving. She's got a demon. No, just love her like Jesus loved the church. She'll be fine. My husband is this. Just love him. You know what I'm saying? We have an anointing. And the anointing is the equipment given to get the job done. What's the job? To go and preach Jesus to the world. With what? Signs and wonders. You know what that is? A sign is something that makes you wonder. You see a sign, you think, oh my goodness. Who's had a sign before? No, don't be shy. I'm going to pick on you if you haven't. Who's had a sign? Who's seen a wonder? Of course we have. We've seen amazing things. And afterwards you go away. On the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:12, it says this, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Peter stood up. He said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. You should know that, you Jews. You should know that. But it came in a package that was so different to what they were expecting. They didn't want to own it. The Messiah we know wouldn't do this. Big surprise. Big surprise. There was an old lady in our church years ago, Auntie Kathy Crompton. You remember Jonna? She traveled South Africa with Smith Wigglesworth, she and her husband. And she believed with all her heart she was going to see revival before she died. She has died. The revival didn't come. But boy, could she pray. Could she believe God? Because she had seen wonders and signs and miracles. And when we see that, it stirs us to believe, you know what? I can pray too. I can believe God too. But the fear that comes on is that it's not going to work. It's not going to work, so I'll back away. And that's when we make a mistake. You can't make it work. I can't make it work. It's the Holy Spirit that makes it work. And He's in you. Do you believe that? He's in you. He's not just with you. He's in you. He's in me. When I watched the Stormers getting a hiding last night, I said, please, Lord, just heal my broken heart. And He said to me, it's irrelevant. It's rugby. I said, yes, but it's like religion in South Africa. It's irrelevant. He's in me. To what? To glorify Jesus so that my life, your life, shines, oozes, gives away this, what do you call it? This thing of Jesus. What's it say? Come on, you guys know the scriptures. To one, we're the smell of death. The aroma. Ah, that's such a lovely aroma. You know, you put it on. I hope you guys put a bit of aroma on for your wives, yeah? It's a very poor response. But the aroma, I want to give away the aroma. Now, what's the aroma of Jesus? Oh, I'm happy. Oh, hallelujah, I'm happy. No, that's not the aroma of Christ. The aroma of Christ is one who is living the life that Jesus wants them to live. And with problems? Yes. With challenges? Absolutely. Because why? James says, I must rejoice when I've got those. Not because I'm in the challenge. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, it hurts. No. Hallelujah, it helps. Because it helps me grow in my relationship. Because it says, Paul said, I must also have the sufferings of Christ in order to be like Christ. We just want all the lovely, cushy, oh, love and tenderness, grace and oh. The Christian life is the most difficult life on the planet to live. And it's becoming more difficult. And in these days, we need Him who is the Spirit, the presence of God, more than we ever needed Him before. Can you say amen? The church is operated by formulas. Praise God, we don't. We do a bit. We come in the morning, sit up the chairs, coffee, the lights. Sorry, Haman. Very important. The lights. So important, Haman cut off the two-pronged plug this morning. So there's no more nonsense. Who's got a double adapter? Who's got the adapter? Where's the adapter for the lights? We've got to have the lights. It's coffee, it's lights. You know what I mean? Cut it. Put on a three-prong. Hallelujah. Problem solved. You know what I'm saying? We do church by numbers. When I first was in the church, I was in boarding school, used to go to church every Sunday. Loved church, not a Christian, loved it. And they'd put up the hymns. You know, they'd put the hymns up on the board. There you saw 136, 249, 529. And these are lovely hymns. And then you stand up and sing. They say, we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 5. Why? Just tell me why. You know why? Because you do church by numbers. You can't go longer than an hour. Because Mr. Pochenpool is the biggest giver in the church, and he doesn't like it to go more than an hour. So we'll just sing three verses because we want to keep him happy. Dear Mr. Pochenpool, if you're not happy, well, we'll pray for you for happiness. Because it's church by numbers. We do it the way. No, we're not a democracy and we're not an autocracy. We're a theocracy. Andrew's not the CEO, and underneath him are all these people, and then finally us. The pastor's not the guy at the bottom trying his best, and everything that he asks to be done has to have a vote. You've been in those churches? We want to move the piano from that side to that side. Oh, the piano's been there for 29 years. Nobody's moving. We're going to vote. Vote, vote. Okay. The wants to stay at their win by one, the pastor. He's got no authority. That's a democracy. And the people rule. And when you want to change something, all the people who are country members, never come to church, something's going to change, they're there. Because why? We've got a vote. We've got a vote in this church. We give every now and again. We've got a say here. Now, Andrew is in front, leading this mass of people. He's the guy that takes the arrows. Andrew. He's out in front. On what level? The same level as everybody. We're all on that level. And he goes, and he's got his team with him, and they form like a slipstream. You know what a slipstream is? And then you get taken in, and you get caught up with it, and you go together. And when the guys in front get injured, we're there to support them. We're not the autocrat who says, well, bad luck for you. Get your act together. We're moving on. Or the Democrat says, please, will somebody help me get out of here? That's church by numbers. The Holy Spirit won't allow that in his church, the real church. This is real. This is what God wants. He wants a people who are totally, totally dedicated to him and his cause. You want to have a pure heart? You want to have a good soul? You must read the Bible. You must pray. You must be kind. Today, I woke up and I decided, today, the fruit of the gifts, the gift, the fruit, the gift, the gift of patience, which is a fruit, is going to be my portion today. I'm going to be patient today. Me, I'm walking in patience. Hallelujah. Walk out the front door. And somebody's bummed my car. What the heck's going on here? Patience, where? Gone. Why? Because I've just asked God to give me patience. Okay, there's a little test. How are you doing? Badly. Very badly. You haven't even left home yet. Patience doesn't come by me trying to be patient. Patience comes from me looking to Jesus, who's the giver of the fruit, and it begins to grow. Because I get put into situations where I'm challenged with my patience. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Suffering long. What are the other fruits? Joy, Joy. Let's go joy, joy. It's not happiness. Today, it's like this. It's like this. Do you know about a postman, you young people? You know what a postman is? I mean, last time I spoke, I spoke about something and they asked me what that was. What was it? A telegram. What's a telegram? So the postman delivers a letter to you from your, let's call it your fiancé. It's a love letter from your fiancé. You don't fall in love with a postman. He's just the delivery boy. He's just the delivery boy. That's what we are. We just deliver the good news. Don't fall in love with me. I don't draw you to me. I draw you to Jesus. I build away from me. What happens when we counsel? This wonderful gift of counseling. Come, I'll help you. I'll help you. Now you're a counselor because all these people see you. Now you must point them to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. By how? The Spirit. He's not on the planet anymore in that sense. He's in heaven. Where's the Father? You think this is a loaded question? He's in heaven. Where's Jesus? At the right hand. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's been poured out. He is in us. He's not drifting in the cosmos. He's in us. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Where's the devil? Probably in Australia. Sorry, Justin. I don't know where the devil is. But he's not omnipresent. He's not omnipresent. We give him too much credit. We give him too much credit. He is a defeated foe who lies his way into Christian lives so that they begin to believe the lie. And then woe is me. No, the devil is a defeated foe. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Who? What am I? I've defeated him. Why? Because Jesus did. And he said, you're in me and I'm in you and you can do all things through me because I give you strength. Simple. How do I get the strength? Well, I'll tell you, this is the big and I'll end now. I do want to. Now, I can see people are starting to throw the wildebeest now. Oops, yeah. I'm joking. Just follow my eyes. What was I saying? You see. Sorry? Where did I get the power from? What is the power? What is the power for me to get out of bed in the morning and face the day? Coffee. You would say, Brian makes good coffee. I made him a coffee the other night. It was average, eh? It was good. Okay, I just drink, you know, a spoonful of sugar. No, I mean coffee. One milk, that's me. Power. What is the power of God? You will receive power when he comes on you. Power for what? It is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. The power is a person. The power is not some weird drift. You see him and he wafts in. And now I've got the power. Don't make it weird. Jesus is not weird. Okay, Jesus is not spooky. Jesus is Jesus. He walked the planet. People knew him. They saw him. They touched him. John says we touched him. We saw him. We ate with him. We know him. Jesus walked the planet. He's not weird. As soon as you get weird, you know, people start, boo, Rabanda. Whatever. You can shake and Rabanda if you want to, but just get the power. It's the Spirit of God in me, supernaturally, that gives me the confidence that I can do nothing, but with him I can do all things. So do I get fearful sometimes? Yeah, I do. I really, really do. I had a dream last night, a weird dream. These oaks attacked me, I beat them. As a good Christian man, I beat them, I took them and I hit their heads on the table. One, three of them. And then I left them and then I woke up. I thought, what's that all about? So if three of you come to me with your issues, just remember how I could deal with you. <Not sure. laughs> As Andrew would say, am I making sense? No. The power of God, the power of God is to break the yoke. The yoke, Jesus' yoke, what did he say? And I'll end with, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now we've taken on yokes. Yokes through things that we've done in our past. Yokes that people have put on us. Things people have done to us. Things I've done to people and I'm unaware of. Those are yokes. And the anointing of God gives us the power, the ability to shake that loose. Remember Paul in Acts 28, I think it is, went to the island of Malta. Where is it? Malta had the snake bite him. Remember he had the snake bite him? And he shook it off. And the islander said, he's going to die. That snake. And nothing happened. Because he shook off that thing. Now it's time as Christians we began to shake off the things that hold us back. And you can't do it by yourself. That's why it's still with you. You can only do it by the power of the Spirit. And it's called the anointing. And he breaks those yokes. And so this morning I want to pray that God will break yokes over us. Could be, one day, what's his name? No, I know John, the Frenchman. Matt. One day Matt's going to give his testimony. And you will see what the power of God does to a man that was hooked. He was 100% dedicated to a cause which was ungodly. 100%. He said, I ate it, I drank it, I slept it. All I wanted to do was that thing. And he met Jesus. And the power of God changed him. That God wants that for all of us. There could be addictions. It could be things people have said to you. And you carry unforgiveness. Listen to me. Unforgiveness is the biggest single problem in Christian lives. Yeah, but you don't know. I don't want to know. He knows, and he said, if you give it to me, I'll set you free. The biggest, most difficult word to say is, I was wrong, or I'm sorry. He wants to break addictions. He wants to break things, people have unforgiveness in your life. He wants to break sickness this morning. People are sick. We prayed for the sick. He wants to break that. He's able. What do you do when you hear Trevor sick? Shame old Trevor. I hope he gets better. Doesn't it stir you? Perhaps we should go pray for Trevor. Stephen. Let me just say this while we're talking about Stephen. This cell, and I mustn't call it a cell. I know it's community. But I was going to say a cell conjures up like prison. You know, what cell are you in? I meet people and they say, I know you from somewhere. And I say, what was your cell number? No, not from there. Steve and Amanda have been leading what is called the Meadow Community. So we graze there. But we've suggested with Steve having a chat that Steve and Amanda take a back foot, let Steve recover from this thing that's plaguing him. And we've asked Sharon, if she will administer things, and we've asked Dave and Pat if they will facilitate things. And guess what? They said, we'd love to. Didn't we, Dave? No, I'm joking. They did. So I just want you to know, I've known him long enough. He can take it. I just want you to know, these beautiful people are stepping in to help out for the next week's couple of months, okay? Just so you know. So we're going to pray. And I want you to be honest with yourself. You know what holds you back. And I want you to be honest with Jesus. And I'm not going to name it, but if there's something in your life that you know holds you back from walking in the fullness of what he wants for your life, then I want you to stand just now. And nobody will know what it's about, but we're going to pray that the anointing of God will come upon you and break that yoke. And he will put his yoke, which is easy on you, and you'll find, oh, I can breathe.